Next step number 704, December 2nd, 2021.
Hi there, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Thanks for tuning into the Next Step with Father Vazgen. We are the voice of Armadoxy, a weekly podcast started in 2008 that looks at life through the lens of Armenian Orthodoxy. If you're joining us for the first time, we're so glad you're here. And if you're a regular listener, welcome back. In these weekly episodes, you will find that Father Vazgen's messages are timely, thought-provoking, and based on the solid principles of Christ's love, faith, and hope. Now, let's get ready to take the next step.
It is just so difficult to admit that it's already December. Can you believe that? Yeah, it's the end of the year, 2021. Now, I just like every year, don't we get... Doesn't it seem like, and I know we say that, doesn't it seem like life is going by and time is going by faster and faster? And every year we say that, right? And then, but is it? It must be because we say it every year. Every year it seems like quicker and quicker. I can't believe it's December already. But, you know, I think that it has to do with, I was thinking about this when looking at my grandson who became 2 years old a week ago. And for him, 1 year of life was basically 100%. So he was one, and that entire year was a full 100% of his life. So that 1 year lifespan is like 100% of his life. That's big, big chunk. So yeah, it goes slower. As you get older, like when you hit 60, that 1 year is 1/60th of a lifetime, right? 1/60th. If you're 70, it's 1/70th of a lifetime. Yeah, you don't have to be that old. And if you're 40, it's 1/40th of a lifetime, right? Well, think about it. Yeah, that's just a fraction. It's just a fraction as opposed to a full 100% of a life. And I think that that relativism is what comes into play when you start looking at the years and how you're going. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's a beautiful day today here in Southern California. We are broadcasting from Pasadena studio. And it was foggy this morning. I had to take my bike ride a little bit later, but it is beautiful right now. We've got clear skies, sunny, and we are looking forward to a great, great holiday season. So let me start off with that, because where we're going today is not the holidays. We're going to be going up into space in just a few minutes. So bear with me, but let me just say that I do not shy away from saying happy holidays. I can't believe we've talked about this for how long, and yet there's still people who do this. They come up and they say, oh, you know, it's not holidays, it's Christmas. No, it is holiday. It is a holy day. It's Christmas, and there are people that don't celebrate Christmas, and you know what? It's not my cup of tea, but you have respect for them. Just as you ask for them to have respect for you. You don't cram it down their throat, but we see that other people try to cram it down your throat, like what they believe. Well, let it be an example. Let it be something that you look at and you say, you know, I will never be like this. I don't want to cram my faith down anyone's throat. Which gets to the big question, well then, are you faithful to that faith? Right? Because ultimately, if you believe in something, shouldn't you want to share that with other people? And that's the big question. So if you're going to share it with somebody, shouldn't you feel good and get out there and share it? Well, yeah, you can. You can share it. And I think everybody should share their faith. But not necessarily by words, not by getting out there and saying, this is what I believe. How about just living it out? And if your brand of faith or religion doesn't work in the real world, then you pay the consequences, don't you? People don't follow you. You know what I'm getting at? It's like we don't need to get out there and advertise or push religion. How about if everybody just lived their religion? And then we can see, hey, is somebody, the religion doesn't make sense to me. Okay, so I'm not going to follow that. Because I see it in your life, it's kind of like screwed up and everything. Hey, I look at yours. Hey, that's really working. Actually, just I was thinking about this yesterday because we had a young lady who articulated so well. Actually, I did a podcast with her for the Diocesan show called Ushatrut Yang Getron, and I was so impressed with her ability to articulate. We did that one in Armenian that I asked her to be our guest next week. She'll be our guest for next week's podcast. We'll do that in English. And, you know, in listening to her, what her faith is to help people. And she talks about going out to Gyumri, in a place that was hit by an earthquake back in 1988. And you say, well, that was a long time ago, an earthquake and everything. Yeah, but do you realize that there are still people who are feeling the effects of that earthquake? No, I'm not talking about aftershocks. I'm talking about the condition of life. It goes back, 30 years. And so now you've got a couple generations who have grown up in that atmosphere. So I will put a link on today's show notes to the Armenian one that we did, but I invite you next week. We'll do that entire thing because I thought it was fascinating. I had invited her to do the show in for the diocese, and I've heard her a few times speak. And a young lady, I think she's all but a quarter of a century, 25, 26 years old. Anyway, I invited her to be our guest next week, so tune in for that one. But it brings the point home that, you know, what's your faith? If your faith is true, if your faith is real, then it's got to work in the real world. It's just not, just abstract. It's not hypothetical. And, you know, this is something that I have lived my entire life for. I made it a point of my ministry that, you know, faith can be real. Actually, we're going to be looking up to the stars in a few minutes. It's the point of making that faith real. And I think it's very important, especially during this time of Advent, as we're preparing for the Christmas celebration. I mean, you're going to actually buy into a story where a virgin was impregnated by the Holy Spirit and gave birth to a child which became the Savior of the world. His life, the Savior of the world, his life began in the most humble of settings. So you're going to buy into this whole thing. Wouldn't it be beautiful if you could say that, yeah, I do really buy into that. Because I believe it. It's not just something abstract out there, but it is real. And so I say these things because I want us to be prepared. Prepared when we come to that Christmas celebration, it's got to be more than Jesus lying in a manger. It's the Jesus, the creator of the universe, the ultimate God who comes and saves us. So to make that real, let's make things real. Let's get out of the hypothetical. What do I mean by hypothetical? For instance, I remember many, many years ago, I would say I was probably in my late teens where I was invited to this event. And it was a way of making money. And I'm not going to pretend that at teenager, that was the only time I wanted to make money. I'm still looking for ways of get-rich-quick schemes, okay? And I think along the way, your values change, so you think of different ways of spending the money. But yeah, you understand the value of money, and you know that money could do certain things. So this is, I would say, goes back a good 40 years or so. And I was invited to this gathering where they were selling letters. And basically, it was what I now understand, and you probably have heard. And if you haven't, let me share it with you. It's the pyramid scheme. And the pyramid scheme is that if you could picture a pyramid, picture people. So there would be a number one who would be at the top, the point of the pyramid. Underneath this number one person would be two and three. Underneath two and three would be a four, five, who would be connected to the two. And the connected to the three would be the six and seven. And then the next level would be 8, 9, 10, 11, and so on and so on. So it creates a pyramid of people. And the person at the top of the chain says, well, I'm at the top of the chain. And you go down. And you go down, and they what they had is 12 different steps. So I don't know if you can understand this just by my words, but I'm going to try to articulate it as best as I can, describe it as best as I can. So imagine a pyramid, and at the top is one person. From that one person is hanging two people. From those two people are hanging two others. So you've got four at the next level. From each of those people is hanging two others. So the four then becomes an 8, and then a 16, and then a 32, a 64, 128, and so on and so on, 256, and so on. So you've got this expanding pyramid. And what they're telling you is the person up at the top is the top of the chain, and so everybody who's at the bottom level can buy into this pyramid. This is how it works. You give $50 to the person up at the top of the pyramid. So imagine at the bottom of the pyramid, let's say there's 256 people at the bottom. Each of them send $50 to the guy up on the top. And buy a letter from a person for $50. So your entire investment into this chain is $100. Okay? Now, you are at that bottom level of that pyramid, but when you sell your letter to somebody, they are underneath you. So you've picked up $50 from them, and that allows you to rise up, up, up into that pyramid. So you got the idea so far? So it's this little pyramid, and the bottom rungs the bottom layers are moving up this pyramid by selling a letter and by sending money to the person up at the top. And as you sell a letter, you move up this chain, hence the name the chain letter, right? Okay, now here's the deal. It increases exponentially. Now, an exponent is different than multiplication. An exponent means you multiply it times itself. So whereas you have 2 to the power of 2 would be 4. Now, if you go exponentially, the next one would be 4 to the power of 4 times, again, to the power of 2 would be 8. 8 to the 2 to the power of, let's see. Let's back up. Okay, 2 to the power of 2 is 4. 2 to the power of 3. So that's 2 times 2 times 2 is 8. 2 to the power of 4. In other words, 2 times itself 4 times is 16, and so on and so on. Now, exponents are kind of tricky because when you get up there, you start exponentially increasing, and you've got these numbers that you may not think are big, but they're huge, okay? For instance, you go to the number 32, which is 2 to the power of 5. That's 2 times 2 times 2 times 2 times 2. 2 5 times, okay? Simple number, it's 32. Do it, do the math. 32, we can all do that in our head, right? 2 times 2 5 times, and it comes out to 32. Okay, now what if it's 32... to the power of 32. You know what you're talking about? 32 times itself 32 times. Not just 32 times 32, but 32 times itself. You know what kind of incredible number you're up at? I just put it on my computer right now, is 1.48 times 10 to the 46, so that would be 48. So that would be a one with 49 zeros behind it. 49 zeros behind it. Okay, just for reference, a billion, the number billion, is one with 9 zeros behind it. So 32 to the 32nd power is this huge, huge, incomprehensible number. Okay. What we sometimes refer to as astronomical numbers. because, you know, they're so far away. When you talk about, like, the sun, how far is the sun from the earth? Well, we get into light seconds, light minutes. For instance, right now, let's say if the sun exploded right now, you wouldn't see the light from that explosion for another 8 minutes, 8.5 minutes. It takes 8 minutes. That's how far away the sun is. It's 8.5 light minutes away from us. It takes that long of a time, 8.5 minutes, for that light to travel and get to Earth. So when we say at 6:45 this morning, the sun rose, yeah, 6:45 our time, it actually rose at, what would it be, 6:38, right? 8 minutes before. 6:37, whatever it is. 8 minutes early. Now, why am I bringing this up? We're talking about hypothetical. The pyramid scheme hypothetically works. Okay? People on the lower rungs give $50 to the person at the top, and they give $50 to the person right above them who sold them a ticket. So you're guaranteeing that your incentive is to sell the letter to somebody below you. And there's a lot of businesses that work like this too. These are pyramid schemes. And you give your commission or your $50 to the guy on the top. So the guy at the top is collecting from all of these people at the bottom. So ideally, he's got, you know, thousands and thousands. That's the lure of this, because they're telling you, you're going to move up in this pyramid. Slowly, you're going to move up by selling this chain letter, but you're going to get up to the top, and people at the bottom are all going to be sending you the $50. And they're going to be selling theirs, and basically this can go on forever and ever. So here's the hypothetical part of it. It's like, yes, hypothetically, that works. You can bring in the best scholars, the best mathematicians, statisticians, and they could all crunch the numbers for you, show you that, yes, hypothetically, it could work. That, you know, people, as they sell the letter, they buy a letter, and they go up and everything. And, you know, you can have this endless chain of people buying and selling letters. And, yeah, it should work. But now let's talk about practically. This is where we're getting to, right? There's hypothetical and there's practical or reality. In reality, could that work? Well, when you get to about the 12th rung of this pyramid, right? So you're going from 1 to 2 and then you go down this pyramid. You get to the 12th. You've got something like 350 million people participating, okay? So if you think about it, like here in the United States, our population is a little bit over 300 million. So that means to get to the top of this chain, every man, woman, child must be playing in the United States. If you were just to limit it to the United States, right? You'd need 3.5 million people. 350 million people. To participate. 350 million. I was off by a zero. See, it happens. Yes. 350 million people. And just, there's not that many people in the United States to sustain this chain letter. And that's why these are illegal. Okay? Because, yes, hypothetically, you can get people who are at the top, they would go back down to the bottom, and they'd buy and sell and backwards and forwards. But in reality, it could not sustain itself. It's a fraud. It's bunko. This is why pyramid schemes don't work. And this is why they are illegal. Okay? Now, how does that pertain to us in religion? Why am I bringing this up? Well, because a lot of times what we do is we talk about hypothetical things rather than looking at the practical and reality of it. And we want to pigeonhole, yes, in other words, take a concept and throw it into this one category, which we do. We take it and we pigeonhole it as religion is opposed to science and therefore is opposed to logic and reason. And what I'm here to tell you is no, you don't have to check your brain in at the door. You don't need to say no to everything you know as true to follow Christianity, to follow what Christ taught. And I'm going to give you an example right after we come back from the song of the day. So I'll let you number crunch right now as we listen to the song, as we do every week. This today will be a number crunching because it's an opportunity for us to absorb some of the stuff that was said during the first half. And we'll be back with some more coming up in the second half. We'll be looking at those real practical experiences of faith. I know you're going to love this because we're going to be going way out there on this one. Here's today's song of the day. Going back a little bit, huh? God Rest You Merry Gentlemen by Chicago. Yeah, that is off the Chicago Christmas album, Chicago 25. I like that rendition of it. It's just a very nice rendition. Actually, the entire album is one of my favorites during the Christmas season. I know it dates me, but who cares at this time, right? So what? You're dated. A lot of beautiful Christmas music that we get to enjoy during this season. Sometimes I know people say we got to do it all year long. It gets a little bit tiring. I know that this year some of the radio stations started a little bit early, and I was even tempted to go there, but I didn't. I waited till the traditional time. I don't know what it was this year. Waited till after Thanksgiving and we started. And the first one here on the Next Step is God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen by Chicago. I'll have a link on our show notes today, as I do every week. Let's get back to our show now. Mm-hmm. Well, I hope you're still with me. I know we got into a lot of numbers today. You know, I'm fascinated by numbers. A lot of you know that already. But it's probably because of the purity of them. You know, when you look at mathematics, there's just like an order to it. There's a system. I believe it. It's like God's language. It's like, it's just true, you know? It's like, you know that there's an order, you know that there's a sequence to it and it happens. And that's why I'm fascinated a lot of times by things that are, well, outside of that order as well, including, for instance, prime numbers. It's interesting that prime numbers really have no pattern. They go on forever, or so we think they do. You know, we've had computers that generate these prime numbers. And prime numbers are numbers that are only divisible by themselves and the number one. And so they go on, you know, one, two, three, the first three prime numbers, right? One, two, three, five, seven, 11, 13, and now I'm just like trying to get it, you know? Anyway, there are a lot of prime number generators, and you can do it. Fortunately, with computers these days, you know, you can go out there a lot. The other one that fascinates me, too, is the number pi. You know, this is roughly, it's the 22 divided by 7. If you want to figure it out, try to do that, okay? And take it out, and it goes on and on and on and on. It's the ratio of circumference and radius of a circle, and one divided by the other, or I can't remember offhand what it is, but pi, 3.1415, and so on. Anyway, I'm not going to get into numbers right now. I'm just fascinated with them because they are part of a bigger story with which we have to deal with in religion. As I've shared with you many times, there's three fundamental questions that every human being at some point in their lives tries to answer. Where did I come from? You know, like, what's the purpose? Why am I here? So where did I come from? What am I doing here? What's the purpose of this life? What is this all about? And ultimately, where are we going from this point on? And we have come up with a lot of answers to this, which many times take the form of what we call religion. In other words, religion answers these basic and fundamental questions that all human beings have or have had during in the course of their life. They, you know, where do we come from? And some people want to say that we were created. Judeo-Christian experience says we were created in the image of God. There's others that say that, you know, we were left over from another civilization that maybe crossed over from stars far away. Others may say that, you know, it's just an accident of nature, how it happened, that the combination of all the different things on Earth was conducive to life, and, you know, through the billions of years, we have evolved into this form, into this civilization of people. Anyway, whatever the case may be, some people have answered it, and somehow, they want to believe that one answer is a little bit more authentic. And the authentic qualifier to that answer, of course, is science, where, like I was saying, you know, the math, right? There's no exceptions to it. Or is there, right? Like, is 1 + 1 always equal to 2? Well, of course it is. You know it because you have two fingers on one hand and you put one up and you put the next one up next to it and you say, what does that add up to? Well, this is true. Yeah, we can all do that. Are there times where it's not equal to 2? Well, now they're finding out that there are times. They're talking about what's a big thing right now with Zuckerberg. He has actually tried to copyright the word meta. And this meta is like this metaverse. It's huge. And one day we'll talk all about that, because that to me is another fascinating area where civilization is going. In fact, we are doing some experiments. I'm doing with some friends that very soon will be really alternative realities. And these were all things that once before, long ago, was part of science fiction. And now they're coming to terms with it. They're coming around. You say, well, science fiction, that can't be real. Yes, it can. Don't forget that, you know, science fiction was the one that said people would fly. And I'm not talking about Jules Verne's and going to the Mars. Look at what Icarus, remember that? Greek mythology, was it? Well, it's some kind of the story. It's a couple thousand years old, right? Putting on wings and flying. Well, in a sense, that was science fiction. It was, we knew we couldn't do it, but can we make wings big enough and do it? Yeah, well, these are things that people tried to do. And so it was fictional until science came to a point and said, wait, we can do it. Go to the moon. Can we ever do that? Yeah, it was science fiction. But we did it. We went there. How about the idea that you could communicate with anybody in the world? This is funny. Back in, I would say, 70, 80 years ago, there was a comic strip character. Very few people remember him these days. His name was Dick Tracy. Dick Tracy was an investigative policeman. I don't know. I don't remember what he was. But he had a wrist radio. And he would communicate on this wrist radio in the form of a watch. He would just pull it up and he would talk to it and the wrist radio would talk back to him. Oh, science fiction. Yeah. Well, now you've got the watch, the iWatch, the Apple Watch, right? You pick it up and you could talk right in there. You could carry a conversation right on your wrist with somebody else. It's not fiction anymore. And so on and so on. There's so many different examples that we can give. Now, will the pyramid scheme work? I doubt it. But that's not science fiction. That's just a matter of practical mathematics, right? Well, let's talk about something else. How about looking out into the stars? That's where our questioning always begins. Because when you look out there at the vast expanse of the universe, you can't help but wonder what's out there. You can't help but think, like, is there life outside there? Outside of our planet? Outside of ourselves? The ancients thought that, you know, there was this huge light outside of the sky. In the sky, those stars were basically holes inside of this curtain. So you would be seeing these little lights coming through that, the holes of the curtains. Later, astronomy came along, and astronomy said that, no, they are planets. Later on, it got more complicated. Not only planets, but we have stars. Not only stars, but entire star systems. There are galaxies up there. One little point in the sky may represent an entire galaxy out there. And we're talking about, as Carl Sagan used to say, billions and billions and billions of stars. Just beyond comprehension. Okay? Way bigger than what we can imagine. Now, we are getting to the point where we are starting to study and study very scientifically these events up in the sky and really trying to figure it all out. And here we come into today's show. I heard this little clip. This is from CNN Radio. It was Wolf Blitzer, and he was talking about the newest telescope, which is called the Webb Telescope. It's going to be launched any day now. If not, maybe by the time this podcast comes out, it's possible it's already been launched. But it's basically supposed to go up there and see beyond anything we had ever seen before. In other words, into the depth. And the entire thing is to find a planet B. And to find other civilization, to find other life outside of ourselves. Now, this is nothing new. If you've followed, you know that since we've been sending up spacecraft, we've been sending up small little signals, in fact, little disks that would accompany many of the spacecraft, so that if other intelligent life were ever to intervene or to see these things. I mean, remember radio signals, everything that's being sent out from Earth, it just keeps going out. So the first radio signal, this was accented in the movie Contact. You know, the first signal that was sent out was during the Olympics, 1936, I think it was, 1932. Whatever the case, I mean, 90 years ago, okay, these signals were sent out and radio. Well, they don't stop in the Earth's atmosphere. They keep going out. Now imagine an intelligent life. And this was what one of the premises of the movie Contact, excellent movie, was that, you know, somebody got the signal and sent it back. Well, what was that first signal? It was a man named Adolf Hitler. Yeah, Adolf Hitler. At those Olympic Games. And that message was sent out. And imagine somebody who doesn't know anything about Earth and gets this message from Adolf Hitler. And then it's sent back to us like, hey, we heard it. We're sending it back to you. I mean, it's pretty wild when you think about it. All the information, all these years, all these television, radio broadcasts that have been going out, and now we're sending out signals their own. So somewhere along the way during the space, during the NASA projects, they decided, let's send out some information that could be more than the Adolf Hitler, could be something that could be recognizable. This is what a man looks like. This is what a woman looks like. This is what our speech pattern is. This is what our Earth looks like. Let's send out images and so on and so on. So you can imagine this quest to find life is so vast. But here's the interesting thing. This week, they sent up they're going to send up the Webb telescope, and what will it find? And as they're preparing to do this, Wolf Blitzer has this interview, which I'd like you to listen to right now. I want to say the person being interviewed is Sarah Seeger. I'm not really sure. You be the judge of it, because what he's doing is he's talking about a new program that's going out, and he's going to be talking about. But listen to what she says. That's what I want to come back and talk about.
In just a few weeks, NASA's James Webb Space Telescope will be rocketed into space, eventually traveling 1 million miles from Earth. The new CNN film, The Hunt for Planet B, will provide an inside look at this truly groundbreaking mission. Here's a preview.
When we started, SETI was considered pretty fringy. We didn't even know if there were any planets beyond our solar system. And we spent a lot of time building up credibility, making a distinction between ourselves and the folks who report seeing little green men in spaceships and being abducted. I mean, people would be writing books about the SETI pioneers, and it would be, what's a nice girl like you doing in a place like this, sort of questions. It was really hard.
Do you think there is life out there?
You know, Nathaniel, whatever I think about life beyond Earth doesn't matter a bit. Now, for millennia, we ask the priests, the philosophers, whoever we thought was wise, what we should believe. Well, we can now change that verb into the verb to explore. Anything else is religion, and we're not doing religion here. We're doing science.
Okay, there you have it. It's part of a longer interview, but this was the portion that I really wanted to focus in on, okay? Do you think that there is life out there? And what does she say? She says, in the past, we have asked the priests, the philosophers, whoever we thought was wise. Okay? These were the people who used to answer the questions. Is there life outside of our own existence? And you can understand that as people of faith, you may want to protect your own interests, and so you would give an answer that would be according to your faith, not necessarily what you observed. But here's the interesting thing that she said. She says, now we should change that verb. Do you believe that there is life out there? Do you believe? We should change that verb, believe, to explore. We should change that verb to explore, she says. Anything else is religion. We're not doing religion here. We're doing science. Wow. Somebody who's full of herself, huh? Science is exploration, but so is religion. Life is exploration. Life is exploration. And it's really important to get these concepts squared away in our heads. Yes, there are hypothetical things that come up, much like the pyramid scheme. Yeah, it's hypothetically possible. And there are practical sides to it. Practically, it's impossible. There are a lot of things that we take on faith, we say, because they are part of the hypothetical world. But also, what I've been trying to share with you as Armadoxy is not about that hypothetical. It's actually put your hands on the problem. It's actually walk the walk. It's what Jesus Christ came to teach. It's the basic teaching of Christianity, which is not about we should believe. It's about we should explore. You're seeing problems in the world. You need to be able to solve those problems. Explore the possibilities of how you become an agent of God to make those things possible. I mean, next week we're going to be talking with this young lady who was out there helping people. Our entire ministry has been built upon being the hands, the feet of Christ. Just last week, we experienced the death, the passing of two beautiful individuals who did the work of God here on this earth. You don't have to be in a religious tradition to understand that that is not about belief. It's about living. It's about understanding. It's about, yes, science, about putting it all together. And religion doesn't have to be at the exclusion of using your reason, using your ability to think. This woman who comes off and says that, you know, anything else is religion is discounting a whole section of human history. And yes, I agree. There have been many things that religion has done that it's probably should be sorry for. In other words, it has always held itself in the preeminent know-it-all position, right? But true religion is about that exploration. It's what I've been sharing with you all these years. What I've been telling you is the premise of Armadoxy. Don't be scared to think. What is our Bible study called? It's called Questions in Faith. Yes, you have questions. It's okay to think. It's okay to question. I mean, the way she comes off and makes this statement over here is like, yeah, everything else is religion. Like, yeah, okay, too bad, but we're the science. No. Science can't answer every question, and you know it. Even when you talk about Big Bang, you can just go so far as to say it started with a Big Bang. But how? What? Where? When did, what went on? Okay, yeah, we could do the when, 13.5 billion years ago. But what is 13.5 billion years? It's that just that statement in itself is geocentric. In other words, it's unique to us here on Earth, because 13.5 billion years means something else on some other planet, right? For us, a year is once around the sun. So multiply that times 13.5 billion, and you've got some kind of idea of how long ago this was. Huge, huge, huge number, right? But it's relative to our consciousness of where we are. And the universe is huge. It's beyond our understanding. And these are the numbers we were talking about earlier. When you get into these exponential numbers, huge. They're big. And it's okay for us to wonder. Not everything is going to be spelled out. That's the wonder that we have. You know, Albert Einstein said, science without religion is lame. Religion without science is blind. Well, that's a nice statement, maybe taken a little bit out of context. But the one that I really, really like is about when he talks about religion. And I'm sure you've heard it, but it's important to bring it up at this point. Einstein says, the most beautiful and deepest experience a man can have is the sense of the mysterious. To sense that behind anything that can be experienced, there is something that our mind... Listen to this. This is the greatest scientist of all time. To sense that behind anything that can be experienced, there is something that our mind cannot grasp, and whose beauty and sublimity reaches us only indirectly and as feeble reflection. This is religiousness. He talks about the essence of religiosity. It goes on and on. And here's the beauty of it. Don't be scared to explore, has been the motto that we've had. And this is what sets Armodoxy apart from everything else. When you want to understand true Christianity, go to the roots. Jesus Christ understood this way. And this is not because I'm saying it. It's not because of a reading. It's because this is the faith that was brought over, as we call in the apostolic tradition. It wasn't complicated. It was very simple. You see the sky up there. You understand it because, well, a few thousand, 10,000 years ago, people understood there was light out there and those were little holes in there. 2,000 years ago, you had some astronomers looking up and understanding there was some way of measuring time. Today, you've got astronomers, you've got scientists who are sending up telescopes into the sky, and they're going to be looking deeper and deeper. That's the exploration that we have of life, and you and I have that as part of our faith. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me. What is that supposed to mean? What does it mean that I am the way? Nobody goes to the Father except through me. Well, it all comes together when you start understanding that Christ is love. It's love incarnate. And these things come together, not because we are told it, but you explore it. You start exploring that it's not about just shoving faith down your throat, but understanding that I'm struggling with these concepts. I know that when I go out there and I look at a beautiful landscape, a beautiful seascape, I know inside of me, my heart flutters. When I touch a loved one's hands, when I look into the eyes of a child, there are things that I cannot explain the way I feel. But at the end of the day, I know they are very real. And I can't just say it's a bunch of neurons misfiring in my brain. No, these are real feelings and real expressions. And so we push ourselves to explore. And you can't be scared of that exploration. Look, in a few weeks, we're going to be celebrating Christmas. Christmas is this beautiful feast, which we get together and we make all kinds of nice little gestures. But when you think about it, it's really the birth of a child in the most humble of all settings. Away in a manger, no crib for his bed, says the Christmas carol. Think about it for a moment. The most humble of beginnings to the creator of the universe, right? What's it telling us? It's telling us, explore in your lives how great you feel and how you need to humble yourself. We give gifts to one another. Why? Because the first gift is given to us. Explore that gift of life that has been given to you. Explore what that life means in your life. What are you doing with that life? How are you sharing that goodness that God has given you? And one step after the next is a step of exploring. So I don't buy it that everything else is religion and therefore science is out there. No. It's part of the same game. Science is exploring. Religion is exploring. We should all be exploring. Why? Because this is the way we grow. This is what we call evolution. Evolution is based on us reacting to our environment. To be able to be courageous enough to take those signals we get from our environment and understand that we have to react to it. We have to create our own set of circumstances in which we and our communities live and hopefully thrive. That's a lot. It's not easy. I know what I'm talking about may sound like it's a lot of religious talk that's that's trying to appease the science world. I'm not trying to appease anybody. I'm just telling you that if you look at the life of Jesus Christ as expressed to us by Holy Tradition, when you look at that life, you understand Jesus Christ was far ahead of the game. He is somebody who is talking to humankind in the year 2021. Yes, Earth years 2021. Yes, 2021 times around the sun since the time of Jesus Christ. And you understand that he never stopped you from exploring. He would always, always challenge you to be the one to make the decision. He never said, you have no choice in this. But that choice implies asking, implies searching. If he's telling you you have a choice, take advantage of that. We're not robots. We've been created by a creator who loves us, who gives us an opportunity to share in that creative process. To share in that creative process, we experience, we think, therefore we are. And during that thought process, we explore without fear, knowing that God's love, God's creation is much bigger than us. It's just up to us to be connecting with it. I'm going to put a few links on today's show notes to maybe steer you in a few other ways. I look at the clock and I say, wow, I could go on for a while. But let's end it right there. Here's Susie to make her announcement. I'll be back with the final thoughts.
Before getting back to the Next Step with Father Vazgen, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. The Next Step is entering homes and communities with a solid message proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. We look forward to your comments and words of encouragement. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes and Blueberry, as well as Facebook and Twitter. We are excited about this ministry and invite you to share in our enthusiasm. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Oh, thank you, Susie, for that announcement. And thank you, all of you, for all of your thoughts, your love, everything that you share with us. Listen, we have a full schedule of activities that are taking place between now and the new year. We invite you to participate, especially if you can remotely. Primarily, we started, for right now, we started our toy drive. And I'm so pleased with it. I can't believe we no sooner set up the box that it was filled up in the local areas. But we do have ability for you to donate online, and we encourage you to do that. You can donate at inissues.org. There's a button to donate. You can order toys from Amazon. Just go to tiny.cc/IHS. That's inissues. IHS-wishlist. And you'll see a bunch of toys there that you can order from Amazon. It'll be delivered to us. It'll be delivered to a wonderful lady who's going to be collecting all them. And her name is Mimi. Yes, so you got a Mimi that's collecting them. There is also another company called Stock California, stockcalifornia.com. You can go there. You can purchase your toys and just at the end put in the code. Toys21. It'll get credited to the InIssues account. 20% of whatever you spend will be given to other outreach programs. Plus, they'll hang on to it for our little elves to come and pick it up. Our toy drive benefits children who are in shelters, primarily because of domestic violence. These are kids that always get overlooked, will always be overlooked because of their parents' stupidity, what their parents have done, because of the domestic violence, and then these kids find themselves in shelters, sort of lost on Christmas morning. And the happiness that comes to them is through these toys. And so I invite you to get involved with this toy drive, but there's so many other things you can too. You know, we do regular feeding of the homeless, and most importantly is that word regular. It doesn't stop on Christmas. It doesn't end when Jesus is born. In fact, just the opposite. We celebrate his birth because it gives us an opportunity to celebrate life. So I invite you, if you look around, hear around, write to me, drop me a note. You could drop me a note at feedback@epostle.net and say, where can I help? How can I help? There are different ways that you can make a difference, specific ways that you can make a difference. And of course, if you go to the website inissues.org, there's a donate button. You could donate for the general fund. And that's the resources that we have to keep us going throughout the rest of the year, doing the good work that you believe in, the good work that we talk about here on The Next Step. Actually, here's the real kicker to all this. That is the next step, right? Beyond talk. Let's end it for today. Thank you very much for joining us. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed producing the show for you. Check out the show notes for a little bit more information. Meanwhile, keep us in your prayers and we'll keep you in our prayers. This weekend, Sunday morning, we're going to be doing a tree planting in the name of Vahakan Setyan. Following Sunday, I'll be at St. Leon's Cathedral in the morning and the evening for the Children's Memorial. Check out our website, inissues.org, to find out more information, especially about the toy drive and the Children's Memorial. On behalf of the wonderful people, two of us, who put today's show together, Susie, our producer, and myself, Father Voskin, I look forward to seeing you again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
I forgot to ask you if you're seeing the same sky as we are.